Welcome to the Gabriel Method Seminar Archives. This program contains a collection of recordings, interviews, and public talks given by John Gabriel about the Gabriel Method, the diet-free way to totally transform your body. Since many of these talks were recorded live, there are moments when the recording quality is less than perfect. We appreciate your understanding.
Ileana, I'm back to you. So can you tell me your question, please?
Yes. My question is, how do you work with the program when you are in depression and trying to get out of it and you're not losing weight as fast as you want to lose the weight? I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong.
Are you taking medication?
No, God, no.
Okay, it's going to take. Do you know what the source of your depression is?
My weight, I guess, is always
your weight.
Been like my image of myself. And
tell me a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I just turned 33 a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, how much weight are you looking to lose?
About 100.
100 pounds.
Maybe 80, 90.
Okay, I'm just clarifying that it's pounds because we have international listeners and some of them are thinking kilograms, which would be
how
like
many
more
kilos
like
is that, John?
100 pounds is 220. 100 kilos is 220 pounds. So you're looking to lose 80 to 100 pounds, which is maybe 40 kilos.
See.
How long have you had this weight on you, Ileana?
Well, I lose it and I gain it back, but
when did it start?
When I started gaining weight.
In fourth grade. And before that, there was no issue, right?
No, I was very skinny. I mean, I didn't have any issues with food or anything like that.
Okay, so my next question, and people that have been listening for a while are going to know my next question. So what happened? What was your life like when you were in fourth grade? What happened?
I was living with my mom, and she sent me to live with my grandma to another state because she said that she couldn't take care of me anymore and, you know, all that. But I only lived with them for like 1 year, and then I went back, and then after that, I was just started gaining weight and
stuff. Okay, so there was an abandonment issue a little bit, right? Your mother couldn't take care of. You're in fourth grade. That's what eight 9 years old, maybe 10 years old.
Yeah,
you're 10 years old. You're 10 years old, and your mother says that she can't take care of you, and sends you to your grandmother. Okay, so that's a serious abandonment issue. The next question I have for you is, where physically do your parents live now?
Right now they live in Los Angeles now. They're separated,
okay.
But I was living in Maui, and I just moved back with my mom about a month ago, or half a month, yeah.
So you're living with your mom now?
Yeah.
Okay, and how old are you?
33.
Okay,
not
so you're
she was the same
no,
age
it doesn't matter,
minutes
but,
ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm just processing a lot of information at the same time. Thanks for that. But okay, so you're living with it. So this lifetime weight issue is really a lifetime kind of abandonment issue that you're still working out, and you're still working it out, even though maybe you haven't thought about it, and maybe you're just living with your mother for a short time right now. But it really sounds like there's a desire to connect with someone that's kind of pushed you away, and that type of trauma is a stress that can cause chemistry in your body that will make your body want to react by holding onto weight. There's a lot of ways to deal with this type of issue. The first question I want to ask though is: Are you listening to the CD at night?
Yes.
And how long have you been doing that?
Let's see, since the end of June, I think. But then I when I moved, I didn't listen to it for 2 weeks.
When you moved in with your mom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. Why did you stop listening to it when you moved in with your mom?
Well, I was trying to get settled and everything, and so.
Okay, I'm looking at the subtext of that, and what I'm hearing is that you listened to the CD for a while, and what that did was it prompted you to start to address some of your real issues, and your real issues are your connection with your mom, and it really goes much deeper than that. It's just a connection with source of love itself and feeling safe and secure. And So you started working on that, and you stopped listening to the CD because you're kind of doing lifetime work. Like you're playing out your issues in the real life now by trying to connect with your mom. What's it like living with your mom right now?
I'm actually very surprised. We don't fight, which is a miracle, but we get along pretty well. It's just with her food choices and everything, and I'm kind of falling back into her food choices. So I was just, that's why I was a little depressed. It's like, what happened? I was eating very good and everything, and then I'm here and I'm not eating very well anymore. And
okay. I'm going to look at the subtext of that one and say it's really not so much her food choices. It's just that she's triggering something in you right now. She's triggering inside you whatever issues happened, this primal pain that happened, which really is, I mean, to me, and I have dealt, what's interesting is I dealt with someone in a very similar situation to yours that's had a lifetime of anorexia. And she was sent away to boarding school year after year, and she would be like, please, can I come home? And her parents were like, no, we can't, you know, you can't come home. And she went the other way, but the issue caused a trauma, and your body reacts to the trauma one way or the other, either by gaining weight or by losing weight. There's no in between. And so your body chose to react to this trauma by holding on to weight, which is similar to the way my body reacted through the traumas that I had at one point. But that's how you're right. So when you say that you moved back with your mother and you started eating, making bad food choices, and you're saying, well, it's just my mom's cooking, there's more to it. And the fact that you stopped listening to the CD, this is what's happened. The fact that you stopped listening to the CD and you're making bad food choices tells me that when you moved back with your mom, it triggered something inside you. This primal pain is being triggered, and you're re-experiencing it at some level, and that's causing you to start wanting to hold on to weight. So subconsciously, you're not going to listen to the CD anymore. And you can say it's because I'm too busy or this, and we talked about this whole self-sabotage issue last week, and I wrote about it in my newsletter. And you can and you could say, well, I'm sabotaging myself. You're not. What's happening is you're being triggered. Your fat programs are being triggered by this primal issue that you're trying to work out. So just be aware of that. And it's not because you're too busy to listen to the CD or you're sabotaging yourself. It's because your fat programs have been activated. So I would say, whatever it takes, and shouldn't take that much, to start listening to the CD again. That's really, really crucial for you. Now, as far as the food choices, you say it's because your mother. That I also say that's because your fat programs have been triggered by living with your mom. You need to be conscious of that and continue, if you're going to eat your mom's cooking, continue to add the foods that will nourish your body, the foods that have omega-3s, protein, and live food. Continue to add those foods. I think you also, it would be great for you to see some sort of therapist, maybe on your own or with your mom. Have you talked to your mom at all about these issues?
No, actually, not particularly. No, not that one, no.
Not that one. See, when you say not that one, I'm just saying, like, it's not like, I mean, you're talking about probably one of the biggest traumas in your life. And you say not that one as if, like, there's, you know, cause I didn't talk about that, but I talked about, you know, not buying a dress last week. You know, it's a serious trauma, and I would take this opportunity right now while you're with her to talk to her. And I'm just wondering if you could just sit with me for a minute and just imagine that. Like, if you're sitting with your mom and you just sat with her and you said, you know, mom, and then whatever came up, like, when I was 10 years old, you know, I wanted to be with you and it just really hurt. Like, I'm just wondering if you just imagine doing that right now. I'm just wondering, like, what would that feel like?
It's more like a numbness, like.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh no, it didn't happen.
Okay. This is your issue, Ileana. We can talk about self-sabotage or depression or all these things, but your issue is you're totally numb to a severe trauma in your life, and that's the reason I'm saying this is so you can stay focused. We talk about time and time again how there's an issue for everybody. This is your issue, so now you know what that issue is. You need to stay focused on it. You're numb to it. There's a lot in there, and I know that when it comes out, it's going to be huge, and it's going to be really good, and you're going to have a huge, huge, huge breakthrough, and there's an opportunity here, and there's no coincidence that you're calling me now while you're living with your mom, okay, because there's a part of you that really wants to heal this issue, and so you've gotten through, you know, to talk to me at a really crucial time in your life. There's a part of you that's screaming out to heal this issue. You can't go through life numb, because you know what numbness is? Numbness is a blockage. It's a blockage in the flow of your energy. And that means that there's a part of you where your energy's not going, where your consciousness can't go, and that part of you stagnates and creates, it's almost like having water that can't flow. Year after year after year, it becomes putrid. So that has to be cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three ways to do this. One is I continue to listen to the CD. Two is have conversations with your mom and see what comes up and just allow what comes up. And know that if you're crying, it's a good thing. If you're crying, you're healing.
John, okay, what would be people's resistance to listening to something that would help them? Just like
the resistance is because something's coming up.
Right.
And that coming up is causing their body at some level to want to hold on to weight. So when your body wants to hold on to weight, it's going to do things like not make you want to exercise or do healthy things like eat wheatgrass or listen to the CD. Your body's just not going to want to do that.
But the CD is a passive thing. I mean, it's just a thing you have to listen to. But even that, even Helen, that precious Helen, she said she had resistance herself in the beginning, even just listening
to it. Listen, if you've got emotional, I've said this before and I say it in my book, if you've got emotional obesity, and that is an emotional need to hold on to weight for some type of emotional trauma, you could go to someone and he says, I want you to lift your finger, your little finger, once a day. You would find a way to forget to do that. You're too busy, whatever it is. And that's just your body holding on, thinking that you need to hold on to the weight and doing whatever it can to get you to hold on to the weight. But when you deal with the real issue, as we're talking about with Ileana right now, it's going to go away. But it's going to take a little bit of work, Ileana. The CD, having some real conversation with your mother, really use this as an opportunity and see what comes up. And she might get really threatened by it, because I'm sure she's just as traumatized as you are, because she was a mother that couldn't take care of her baby, and there's going to be nothing on earth that's more traumatizing for a mother than to push her kid away. So there's going to be just as traumatic as her, but it's also going to be just as healing.
John, so I was thinking about counseling for her, and I was thinking...
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to... That was the next thing.
Yeah, you had
mention.
Said that, to go to a counselor, and I was thinking if money was an issue, as it seems to be with people, you know, there's Overeaters Anonymous, but the HOW program, H-O-W, and they have, like, 6 months of questions that you answer a question every single night. And it's very intense. It's free. And you can look it up on the internet. And it's, I know a lot of people that do the Gabriel Method that also do this for, you know, just for, to have each other to speak to.
I'm not familiar with it, Kelly, but if you could email me a link to it, I'll take a look
sure.
at it.
Yeah,
and
it's
a good thing, I'll post it
free.
On my site.
Okay.
And we'll post it on our forum if it's a good thing. But I also tell people, I believe in energetic healing, where you have a healer that goes back, and all of a sudden you're back 10 years old, because your body remembers things on an energetic level.
Yes.
And so I recommend going to an energetic healer. And I just got a question, by the way. Somebody just texted me a question. What if you can't talk to the person? So this is going to answer that question. If you can't talk to the person, I really recommend you going to an energetic healer. So if you go to a health food store, and you look at all the posters on the billboard, you know, people advertising, and you look at them, and one of them is going to, you look at one of them and you say, that's the person I want to talk to. They're going to do some sort of therapy, or they're going to have you do some sort of breathing or visualization where all of a sudden you're 10 years old or you're 4 years old and you're reliving the experience. Your body, you have to get into that place for your body to let go of the memory on a cellular level. You see, we have a cellular memory of this, and you have to be a 10-year-old again or get into that place to let go of the cellular memory. I would also say for the caller that says, what if you can't talk to that person? I would have an imaginary conversation with them. I was on, I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, we had Portia, or Lady Rerun, and on, and she went. She needed to talk to her father, and so on her show. And if you go, if you listen to her show, there's one show that I did with her, but it's her show, not mine, because she also has a show on Blog Talk. If you listen to her show that we did together, I walk her through. We have a conversation with her father, and she's crying. And I really, when we had that conversation with her father, I actually saw. Well, it just felt like I saw what was happening, and she was describing what was happening as I'm seeing it. And he smiles. He pushes her away. He says, "Go get," you know, pushes her away in a loving way. He says, "Go be free. Go fly. I let you go." All this kind of stuff. And it was very healing. So if you can't talk to the person, you can have that conversation through visualization.
I had emotional abuse. I felt safer being thin. That partner I told you about, you know, that flails its arms, he worked like on a desk like here. He sat here, and I sat here. And he was always angry and always pissed off. And I was afraid of him. I did not feel safe around him. He was bigger than me. He was taller. He was almost a pitcher in, you know, in a professional baseball player. He was a big guy, and he reminded me of a kid when I, you know, when I was a kid, I used to get beaten up by someone like that. And so it triggered all this stuff. I did not feel safe around him. But as I started gaining weight, I started feeling safer. You know, eventually I was twice his weight, twice his size,
and
I could sit on him. You know. But if I ever tried to lose weight, I panicked. I didn't feel safe. You know? But that's a stress, and my body was reacting to that stress in such a way to make me feel safer. And it got the cue for me that I felt safer. I spoke to a lady when I've been on, you know, a couple of shows in Australia, and after the first one I did, this lady called me, and people have a tendency to just tell me things that they never told anyone. And in Australia, they don't talk about any of their problems. You know, in the States, everyone's like, you know, I have a problem. I'm next. You know what I mean? And they love Dr. Phil there because they're like, I would never do that in a million years. You know, they're so fascinated with it. So maybe it's because I'm American. I don't know. But people will call me and they'll tell me things they have never told anyone. You know? So this lady calls me up and she goes, I have, she said, when I was a kid, and she's tried every diet in the world and, you know, and the same whole thing. And so she said, when I was a kid, I was abused by a babysitter. And it was actually a female babysitter for 3 years. And the whole time she was being abused, she was gaining weight. Eventually, she got so fat that her babysitter said, "Oh my God, you're so fat," and left her alone. That made such an indelible impression on her that fat equals safety. You know, that there's nothing that you could do as far as diet. If you try to lose weight when you're in that situation, your body is fighting for your life. It thinks it's acting in your best interest, and you curse it and all these things. But your body's fighting for your life. And I just had another girl call me after she's been emailing me after a seminar that I gave up in Perth. And I could all already feel when she was emailing me, oh, you know, I'm trying this, and it's working, and the yummy protein shakes and all this stuff, and you're the best, and oh, nothing else has worked, and you're so brilliant, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. And she gave me these weekly updates. Oh, it's a, and I know that she's just being a little bit too rah-rah about the subject. And finally she goes, I get an email, I'm losing weight. And then the next one, and I look great, my clothes are falling off of me. And then the next one I get is that, you know, I had a bad week. You know, people told me I look great, and I started to panic. And I said, okay, give me a call. I just emailed her back, just call me, because I knew what was happening. And I said, look, you know, a lot of people have had situations, you don't have to tell me what your situation was, but where things have happened, and then, yeah, sure enough, she was assaulted as a teenager. Yeah. And so she doesn't feel comfortable being attractive. That weight's keeping her safe. It's protecting her from predators, but it's keeping her safe. So I said, you know, let's stop talking about all these yummy protein shakes. You know, you've got to deal with this issue. So mental, emotional obesity needs to be dealt with. Emotional obesity is 99% of it. Now, like Daphne, you said in your talk yesterday, you still have to repair the damage. You know, so you have to address the digestive system and the fact that the body's starving and all these things. You still have to do all those other things. But you will only be as successful as your ability to address the emotional obesity. And then I have what I call mental obesity. And again, all these things are in the book, and I'm rushing through it fast. But mental obesity is when your thoughts, you know, like I say, we've got our thoughts, our consciousness, Our emotions are a liquid form of consciousness. Our body's a physical form of consciousness. They all interact. So your thoughts affect your body, and I can't tell you how real that is for me in my life. So, you know, if you think it's impossible to lose weight, and you sort of, you know, that's why yesterday I was in here with Gladys, and one of the guys, I think it was Jan, said, you know, doctors sometimes come up and go, oh, you will not recover. You know, our thoughts have such an enormous impact on our body. And I know this so totally. And I'll just tell you why. Because the other thing that I recommend completely to everyone from day one, in addition to adding foods, is visualization. The analogy I use is a little bit like really learning how your mind and body operate together is a little bit like learning how to drive a car. It's like it's almost like we're in a car and we don't have our hands on the steering wheel. We don't even know there's a steering wheel. And we crash into a tree. And then you go to the mechanic and he fixes the car and you drive out of a garage and you crash into a tree again because you don't have your hands on the steering wheel. What, understanding how your mind and body work together, not only in weight loss, but in health in general, it's almost like it's giving you the instructions of how your mind and body work. It's like, this is a steering wheel. If you turn it this way, you're going to go right. If you turn it that way, you're going to go left. It's giving you the ingredients to that. So what you're seeing is you're able to make sense of why it was that when you were passionate and when you were doing what you loved and when things were flowing, the weight was coming off. And why when you felt thwarted or frustrated, the weight was coming back on. And that's just because of the chemistry that was taking place in your body in those different times. When you're passionate and when you love what you're doing and when your life is flowing, you're not having all that fear. And you're not causing all that chemistry anymore. And so your fat programs aren't getting activated. But it's only when all of a sudden you can't do what you want or you have these longings and these wishes. And sometimes it's when you have to understand how your body is always trying to interpret your mental life. And it interprets every type of mental stress as a physical threat to your body. So when you're having longings, like when you're saying, I wish I could do music, I wish I could follow my passion, I wish I could do this, it's almost like you're starving on an emotional level for some sort of nourishment. And the only type of starvation your body understands is a physical starvation. But if you're feeling starving or longing on an emotional level, your body's going to interpret that physically, and it's going to try to protect you. And the only way it knows how to protect you is by gaining weight. Because weight is the only way to protect you from any type of starvation. But people are worried about finances, for example. And there's been a lot of statistical studies that have correlated fear of finances and fear of job loss and fear of not being able to make ends meet with weight gain. And if you think about it, fear of not having enough, limited resources, that's sort of a type of a famine. I mean, to your body, if your body were to try to interpret that, it's a famine. That's what it is. Because if you lose your job, you won't have enough money to pay your rent, and then you won't have enough money to eat, and then you're going to starve. So it's actually your body, when you start worrying about finances, just as an example, your body's going to start activating these fat programs to protect you from a famine. So, and then we get so mad at our bodies because we think that our bodies are out to get us or sabotage us or whatever it is. And our bodies are just trying to protect us based on the programming that it has. It doesn't have that many ways of protecting you, at least not on an emotional and a mental and emotional level. It's very good at protecting you on a physical level, but it doesn't understand your mental and emotional world. And it's always trying to interpret that. And understanding this interaction that you have this body that's trying to help you, but you're not communicating with it right. You're not operating it right. And when you understand that and learn how to work with it, then the weight comes off easily. Because every time you go in the wrong direction, force yourself to lose weight by dieting, you're activating your fat programs every single time. And that's going to work against you. And that's why diets don't work. And that's why there's thousands and thousands of diets out there, all operating on the same flawed premise that you can force yourself to lose weight. And it's a bit like trying to force yourself to sleep less or force yourself to breathe less.
Hi, Aubrey, how are you?
Good, John, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Good.
Tell me, just refresh our memory and for everybody that's listening now of the conversation that we were having last week.
I basically called up with two questions, I guess two really big loaded questions, though. One was about the visualization techniques you've talked about extra skin and losing the weight. And,
okay.
And then the other was that I had hit a trigger, and I just mentioned that I have had different, I've been abused, and I'm working through things, but... this trigger was I don't even know, and I think I got to the same point last time. I was like, I didn't even know what to say or what would be important to tell you or what you need to know.
Okay, well, let me ask some questions.
Great.
Okay, and we'll talk here. Tell me how old you are, please.
I'm 34.
Okay, and how long you had a weight issue?
Technically I started overeating at 12 and 13, but right. The weight didn't start going on until about 18, 19. It finally started going on.
Okay. And how much weight are you looking to lose right now?
I've lost about, well, I think I've gained some back. I've lost 50 of it, but so I need to lose about, I would say 65, maybe.
Okay, so you lost about 50 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and when did you lose that weight?
That's been coming off for the past, I'm really bad at time frame, but yeah. Since the summer. So
since this past summer?
About the beginning of summer, about six months.
Okay, about 5-6 months, and you've lost 50 pounds.
Yes.
Is that right? That's
yes,
great.
That's, right.
That's incredible. That's really amazing. That's a very rapid rate to lose weight. That's almost too quick. I would say that is too quick.
I do tend to lose weight rapidly, and then I will hit a trigger. Like in the past, I've always lived in fear. I think I told you last time too that your book came as a confirmation for me, because I know my body, and I know that when I start to hear too many, "Oh, you look great," something clicks, and I live in fear of that moment that I'm going to start. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So when did you start reading the book and listening to the CD and all that stuff?
That was about almost 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you felt any kind of difference in terms of how you feel?
I did at first. It was and I still do. It's not the same. Like. Yes. I had, like, when I first started doing it, and I was more hope, and I felt really free, and I didn't feel like I was afraid to be thin. I didn't feel like I didn't have all the same, people were telling me I look great. I didn't have a problem with it, and I mean, they still tell me that, because I haven't put on so much weight back on that it's made a huge difference yet, but it's, so that part of it's still great. Like, that wasn't the trigger this time, people telling me I look nice.
Okay, what was?
We started having financial problems, and okay. I really stress out about those.
Okay.
And
okay.
The stress from that just set me, I guess, in a tailspin.
Okay. But you had in the past, when people said you look great, that would trigger you.
Yeah,
you
I do have
unsafe.
Told you. Yeah.
So let me just,
and
you think that's related to the abuse that you suffered?
I know it was. That's why, I remember actually making a choice to start eating so that I would be unattractive to the, yeah.
Yeah, and what age was that?
It was when I was 12.
Okay. And you remember making that choice when you were 12?
Yeah, I really remember making the choice. Like, it made them, it was so horrible. I remember thinking, well, maybe if I start my period, the person will leave me alone, thinking they might get me pregnant, or maybe if I start eating a lot, the person won't be attracted to me, because at the time, the person he was with was pregnant. So I'm thinking, well, maybe if I'm unattractive or if I'm bigger, right. He won't find me attractive too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a classic example of emotional obesity. Have you done some work on that with any kind of healers or any kind of regression therapy or anything like that?
Yeah, I have done a little bit. I don't know which one it is, but I have had some intense therapy where they had me talk about what I go back to that time and.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what it's called, but I did do that a little, and it was really intense for me.
Okay. And how long did that abuse go on for?
It went on for about 6 months, okay. And then it happened again when I was 17.
Okay, what made it stop when it went, back then when it went on, like when you were 12, 13, went on for 6 months? What made it stop?
I think because the baby was born.
His partner's baby?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and it happened again when you were 17 with the same person?
Yeah.
Is this a family friend or relative?
It's my father.
Okay.
It was my dad.
Okay. Okay. And do you still have contact with him?
I do off and on. My mother decided she chose to stay with him after everything came out. It's a very dysfunctional and sad relationship. At this point right now, I told them I really can't speak with them. I can't pretend I'm okay with talking to them.
Yeah, I think that's healthy. I said I think that's very healthy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in a relationship right now?
Yes, I'm married. Is that what you asked me?
That's what I'm asking.
If I was in a relationship?
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm asking. And what's your relationship like with your partner?
My partner is actually wonderful, and I'm very thankful for that because in the place that I was at, I don't know how. he's a gift. He's very supportive and loving. He is one of those people that just encourages you to. He's a major encourager and very supportive, and just encourages me to be myself and do what I need to heal, whatever shape or form or whatever that might be.
Okay, okay. And so, at what age did you have that therapy that you mentioned, where you went back to the situation?
That was actually, I was in my early 20s.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm just wondering why it is now that you feel like when people say you look great, you don't feel threatened. I'm wondering what was the shift with that? Because it's a really important one.
I don't know how this is going to sound, but when your book and hearing it over again, that it's almost like you gave me the permission to feel safe. Because I'd known my body, it's like the confirmation I told you, I knew what my body was doing, kind of, in the back of my mind. I knew it was, there was some kind of trigger. I know that I'm safe now. I know he can't hurt me. But just to hear it was, oh my gosh, yeah, that's it. It came together for me.
Okay, I'm still listening to it. That's what I'm asking you, yeah. So since you started listening to CD, it used to be when you'd lose weight and people said, oh, my God, you look great, you would feel threatened because it would trigger this whole thing where if you're attractive, then you're at risk.
Exactly.
And you're not feeling that anymore.
No, it used to be a pit in my stomach, like drop.
Okay,
yeah,
so I just want you to do a visualization with me right now. I want you to imagine that you're in your perfect, most ideal shape.
Okay.
Okay. And you're beautiful and you're radiant and you're everything that you could possibly be and more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you do that for me?
Yes.
Okay, and you're walking down the street and someone sees you. And they're just looking at you and they're just marveling at how beautiful you are. Hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering, how's that feeling for you?
It was slightly uncomfortable.
Okay. This is a huge issue, Aubrey, and this is something that I don't want to leave alone, because I've heard people tell me that they've had situations like this, and they said, "Oh, I did therapy. I'm done with that. I've taken care of the issue already." And sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not. But just by doing that visualization, that's a really good test. Okay, to say that issue's still there. So this is what I want to do. I want to try that again. Okay?
Okay.
You're walking down the street. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're walking down the street. You're in your perfect, most ideal shape. And you're looking as beautiful and as radiant as you could ever imagine yourself looking. Okay?
Okay.
Can you do that?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Then I want you to imagine that you're passing somebody and they're looking at you and they're marveling. They're obviously marveling at how beautiful you are. Okay. And now I just want you to imagine that you're smiling and you're feeling really comfortable with that. And you're feeling to yourself, that's his, you know, he's allowed to feel, he's allowed to think that I'm as beautiful as he wants. That's his business. Not going to hurt me. And I want you to imagine also that there's this big, beautiful guardian angel next to you. And he's walking with you. And he's got big, bright wings. And he's strong, and he's safe, and he's gentle. And he's right behind you. And just as you walk by, I want you to imagine that you're walking by that person again. Okay? You there?
Yeah.
Okay, you're walking by that person, and they're marveling at how beautiful you are. And they're even looking at you, and maybe it's obvious that they're even thinking some kind of thoughts about you.
Okay.
But as they're doing that, you've got this big, beautiful guardian angel behind you. And he just takes his wings, and he just kind of covers you and kind of shields you from the look. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
And you sort of smile, knowing that this person can look, but nothing can happen. Because you're shielded and you're protected. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, so much better.
Yeah. And so this guardian angel, he looks at you as you're walking. He says, I'm always here with you. You're a beautiful person, and people are going to look at beautiful people. That's just the way it is. That's a nice thing. But I'm always here. I'm always going to protect you. I'm always going to shield you with my wings, just like I did. And you just feel that. And every cell of your body feels that, that you've got that protection. Can you feel that?
Yes.
I want you to take that with you as you go through life now. And when you're in the real world and people are looking at you, I want you to really feel those wings next to you, protecting you, shielding you.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay. So I want you to stay with that for a while. That visualization, that image. I'd love for you to listen to the Living Goddess meditation that I created. And if you email my office, you email orders@gabrielmethod.com and ask for Jenny, and she'll send you a complimentary copy of that CD. It's called the Living Goddess Meditation. I'd love for you to listen to it during the day.
Okay.
And in the meditation, there's a part where you imagine that there's like a guardian angel touching you, protecting you. And I want you to make connection with that so that you always have that connection. And that's the connection to your safety. And so that you always feel safe.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
Good. Because that's a more important issue than the stress issue of the finances. I'm not minimizing that, but that's one that we can deal with too. But I really want to stay with this one first.
Okay.
Okay. And I want you to work on this and have this visualization, just the one that we just had just now, where you're walking down the street and someone's protecting you, this guardian angel's protecting you. To have that same image every morning as you wake up and every night as you go to sleep for a few weeks. It'll happen very quickly. It'll almost happen automatically as you're going to sleep if you do it enough times. You'll just see it. It'll be effortless. And then I want you to check back with me in a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to give you a visualization for the stress, the financial aspect of things. But I really, really need you to drill this one into, just really channel it into every cell of your body right now and be done with that issue once and for all. And then we can move on.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yeah, that sounds so good. Okay.
Okay, good. All right, good. So let's check back in a few weeks. Okay, Audrey?
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
This program, in its entirety, is owned by the Gabriel Method Pty Limited and is protected under international copyright law. Kindly do not reproduce, copy, or use these contents for anything other than personal use without written permission.